And all God's people raise their hand. Amen. That's tremendous. I've been giving him lessons. It's working. Thank you. If you believe that, I have some swampland for you to buy in Charleston where you can build a house on. Good to be here today. Seems like I've not been here much lately. Been in Ohio and different places. But I'm glad to be back here. I enjoy this church. I enjoy you. I thank the Lord for it. Daniel, you keep singing that way, will you? And if you don't, I'll come back and haunt you. All right. Psalm 32. If you'll turn to Psalm 32. It's one of three psalms that David had written. Psalm 38, I mean, he wrote others, but Psalm 38, Psalm 32, and Psalm 51 were written, no doubt, about some sins that he committed. If I could give this message a title, I would call it Taking Our Sins Seriously. And the reason why I say that, if you'll see a word at the end of verse 4, and same word at the end of verse 5, the same word at the end of verse 7, is the word Selah. It means to think on that. Literally, David is saying, take very seriously what I am saying to you. There are many people who believe these chapters that I just mentioned are written in the fact that he had committed sin in 1 Samuel chapter 11 with Bathsheba in the killing of her husband Uriah. There are others who believe it had to do with numbering the children of Israel in 2 Samuel 24, which cost the lives of 75,000 people. There are some people who believe it had to do with 2 Samuel 2, verse 4, when the priests, result 85 priests were killed when he lied. So we don't know when, but we do know it happened. Take your sins seriously. Take it seriously. Oftentimes we'll say a terrible thing, well, we all sin. What's that got to do with the sin you've committed? Nothing. I want you to notice the wickedness of our sins. I want you to notice, secondly, the wages of our silence about sin, to do nothing about it. And then thirdly, I want you to notice the words of our Savior as he ends this chapter this morning. Look at it with me. The wickedness of our sin. Would you begin now to think about the context of what David said? Oftentimes when I sin, how easy it is for my mind to say, well, we all sin, or I'll get over it. That's not the way to treat sin. I believe that is the reason why we do not have revival. Often because we take lightly our sins. Notice, if you will, first of all, the wickedness of our sins, which is found in the first two verses of this chapter. You'll use three words if you'll note them. He'll say, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven. That's the first word, transgression. And whose sin, that's the second word, is covered. Verse 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That's the third word that you find here. Transgressions, it is the act of sin. It means to rebel. It begins in the heart. That's where sin always begins. It is rebelling against God. When I have wrong thoughts or say wrong words or do wrong things, it is really the act of rebelling against God. That's why he uses such a strong word to begin with. Then he uses that well-familiar word, sin, which is the fact of sin. It's carrying out what's going on in your heart. In the New Testament, the word sin there means missing the mark. missing the mark. So he uses transgression, which is certainly the act of sin begins in the heart, and then the fact of sin, the word sin, and then the impact he has found in that word iniquity. It means to be bent away from God's will. That's the idea of that very strong word. It literally means to be bent. My wife said to me the other day, "Now, honey, you're walking kind of bent over." I wanted to say there's a reason for that. This old body gets bent over at times, right, Brother Lashley? That doesn't, our spirit does not need to be bent over. But when we have that act, in fact, the impact is always we have a bent soul within us. So we use all three of those words to deal with the wickedness of our sins. Remember, as a kid, we would often say, "What I did was a little white lie." Do you ever hear that phrase? Do you ever use it? Probably blasphemy. There are no little white lies in God's record. And may we see that. Then he goes, secondly, to the silence, the wages of sin. Look there with verse 3, if you will, please, and verse 4. Verse 3, when I kept what? Silence. When I kept silence. Think with me for a moment here, David, as it takes an incredible, somebody said it well when he said it takes an incredible amount of energy to pretend to be something you're not. What a thought. A tremendous amount of energy to try to be something you're not. And David, if it was with Bathsheba, he spent a whole year trying to be something that he was not. And you may be here this morning trying to be something that you're not. Trying to be a Christian right with God when you know inwardly there is the act, there is the fact, and certainly as a result of that, there is the impact. Silence, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. There's not a sin in my own life that if I had to do over again, I wouldn't have done it. I would have said no. I hope you feel the same way. You come to verse 3 and 4 here. When I kept bound. Now let me say this. They find the penalty that David faced. It is interesting that he deals with sickness in the body. Matter of fact, if you go to Psalm 38, I'll not take time to turn there. In verses 3, verse 8. Well, matter of fact, we're not far from it. So go over to that Psalm 38 for a moment, because that's one of the three psalms that he wrote in regard to his sin. Notice what he says in verse 3, "There is no soundness in my flesh," that's his body, "because of thy anger, neither is there any rest in my bones," that's your body, "because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head, and a heavy burden they are, too heavy for me." I believe David at times felt he was going to have a heart attack. The pressure that God put it. He said, "My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled." Verse 6, "I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long." And he was bowed down because it was a picture of his soul being bent over as well. Now, I'm not here to suggest for one moment that all sin is recalled of all sickness is a result of sin. God forbid if I would say that. And yet, in a way it is, because you know what? Because we are sinners, have a sin nature. Hello? We do have infirmities, but not personal sin. We know, for example, in the New Testament, in John 9, verse 1, when he said, the man that was born blind, he said, "Neither hath this man sin or his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him." In other words, to be glorified. One of my good friends, many years, you probably know the name Ron Hamilton. How many know that name? Ron Hamilton, Patch the Pirate. Ron's been a good friend of mine. I'll never forget the day when Ron lost his eye. And I remember he was going through, as we all go through, what is God doing? And he put that patch on his eye, and somebody said, you look like a pirate. How about patch the pirate clubs? God used that in his life. And because of that, he has reached a lot more people with his music than otherwise. Now pray for Brother Hamilton. He is near also the end of his life. And pray for him. He's been a good friend. But when I think of that, and I think of the sickness of the body, sin can affect it. Also stress in the soul. Go there back to Psalm 32. Not only do we see sickness in the body, for day and night, verse 4, thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. Let me say this to all of us today. The greatest punishment God can inflict on us is to let us have our own way. Mark that. Be thankful there be a time when God will just do all he can to stop you. But one of the greatest punishments is when we sin, iniquity, transgressions, is when we simply have our own way. I pray regularly, oh God, please don't let me have my own way. Stop my own way, Lord, before I destroy my life. There was not only sickness in his body, stress in his soul, but there was silence in his spirit. Look again at verse 3. There was a spiritual drought. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring of the verse 4, day and night, thy hand was heavy, and my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. He is illustrating there was a spiritual drought in his life. He could open his Bible if it would be today, and he couldn't get anything from God. He could try prayer, but heaven was iron and or brass, and earth was iron. He could not get anything from God. Probably that's why some of us don't pray like we need to. And I have found if you're not having a prayer life, it could be you have unconfessed sin and you don't want to go to God. You don't want to talk to him because he will reveal to you your problem. In this silence, I not only see here the penalty he faced, but I'm glad to move down here to verse 5 and 6. And I see the pardon that he enjoyed. I hope that you can say, as I often would say, when I have sinned, I've lost my joy, but I'm glad when I get it back. I didn't say happiness. No, happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on God. As a matter of fact, it's a wonderful gift from God that we have that joy. Notice I want to just go back up to verse 1. Now, when I do this, do not in any way think I'm attacking the KJV Bible. I love this Bible, okay? Amen? You love it? But you will find here words in italics. When words are in italics, it's okay to remove them because that's not in the original, okay? You're allowed to do that. You understand that? You understand it? Say amen. All four of you, thank you. I want to read this without the italic words because it deals here with the grace of God. Let's read, verse 1. Blessed transgressions forgiven, sin covered. That's the way it is without those words. Let me read it to you again. Blessed transgression forgiven, sin covered. Isn't that great? Blessed transgression, sin forgiven, sin covered. Hallelujah for that. I think I want to try that one more time. Blessed transgression, sin covered. Forgiven, sin covered. You just do it on your own. It's obvious I made a mess of it, didn't I? Huh? How many think I made a mess of that? Don't raise your hand. I'm preaching and you're interfering with my preaching. That's wonderful. Blessed transgression, forgiven, sin covered. Whew. You know what our problem is? I'm not talking about being saved. Hallelujah, you're saved. But when we sin, we just want to ignore it. Why do we do that? Why do we not let God show His grace? That verse 1 is full of the grace of God. Transgression forgiven, sin covered. And it's covered by the blood of Christ. I thought to myself, David, who had sinned a great sin maybe 3 times, as I gave you those thoughts earlier, and they're recorded in your Bible, but they're not recorded in heaven. They're under the blood. Now, God put those on this book for you and I. And we get to heaven. I don't believe you're going to walk up to David and say, "Hey, David, you're the guy that committed sin with Bathsheba. You're the guy that lied to the priest that caused 85 priests to be. You're the guy that caused 75,000 souls." I don't believe we're going to do that. Hallelujah for the blood of Christ. Makes me want to just run around this auditorium or get on the pews and walk them. I've done that before. Marilyn says, "Don't do that again." Just out of excitement for what God has done for us. I see the grace. I see the guilt of David is removed. Go down to verse 5. I acknowledge my sin. You know what repentance is? Repentance is siding with God about our sin. Hello? Siding with God about our sin. We don't like to do that when we're living in sin. But that's what it is. And he sided with God. I acknowledge here. I agree with God. And in that word acknowledge, you have the thought of repentance. Look with me. I acknowledge my sin. Get verse 5. Very key. There are 3 words you find in verse 5 that we dealt with in verse 1. In verse 1, he uses all 3 words, transgression, the act, and the word iniquity, impact. But he uses those same 3 words. Isn't that interesting? You know why? Because he wants to acknowledge that his sin is a sin against God. It's rebelling. So he uses the same 3 words in verse 5 as he did in verse 1. And you, by the way, cannot get forgiveness if those thoughts are not in your heart when you ask God to forgive you for your sin. You have to see it as God sees it. You have to see the transgression. You have to see the sin, and you have to see the iniquity. You have to see all 3 of them, as we talked about and reminded again. Transgression, to rebel against God, that's the act, and then the word sin, the fact of sin, is just once you make add the thought there, you carry it out, and then the impact is iniquity. You simply step out of the will of God in every way. But this is an interesting thought. For as he dealt with his guilt, we not only find repentance, but we find removal of his sin. Look there. Go down to verse. Let's read verse 5 again, then drop down to verse 6. Verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Connected with verse 6. For thou shalt everyone that is godly pray unto thee. Everyone that is godly. Do you know what happened in verse 5? In verse 6, he said, basically, I'm godly. Do you know why he said in verse 6, I'm godly? Because I acknowledge my sin in verse 5. He took care of it in verse 5. And I wonder, the moment, this is the next verse. The next verse. He's godly. That thrills my soul. I hope it thrills your soul. Unless you have unconfessed sin. And you don't want it. David, first time I read this through many, many years ago, I said, God, wait a minute. In verse 1 and verse 5, he uses those three words, and all of a sudden he's godly. Hallelujah! He's godly. And I am so glad that repentance resulted in the removal and the reality of his forgiveness. I said it before, but I'll say it again. We can go to this psalm. We can go to 1 Samuel 11, and we can go to the other chapters where he sinned. But they may be recorded in this book, but they're not recorded in the book of heaven. They're just not there. Turn with me for a moment to Revelation 21, if you will, please. Turn to Revelation 21. And as I turn there this morning, I look here, Revelation 20. And verse 11 said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, for whose face, verse 11, the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, and referring to position, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that which were in them. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to works. Get verse 14. And death and hell and were hurled with greater force than I just did. I'll have to go home and get massaged now on my arm. But God is going to hurl them into hell. But you and I, if you know Christ, will not be so. You'll not stand at the judgment of the great white throne. Yes, you'll have to answer to the way you lived your life, but all your sins are under the blood. I say hallelujah to that. I'll pick those up, about a week. Go back over in our text with me, if you will, please. So we see not only here, as he faced the penalty, those three words are repeated there in verse 5. And I not only see there the pardon that he experienced, but notice the power he experienced. Go down to verse 7. Oh, look there with me, if you will, please. Here he is now. In verse 6, he's godly. But boy, look here in verse 7. He talks about the presence of God, he talks about the protection of God, and he talks about the praise of God that he had not experienced for a long time. So you could be here today, you can stand and sing these songs, mimic them, but there's no praise in your heart because there's no presence. He said, thou art my hiding place. That's the presence of God. For over a year, what had to be with that, hadn't experienced the presence of God. I, in the mornings, when I get up, first thing I want to do is to sense the presence of God. It's so vital as I face the day. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. That's his protection. I don't know what I'll face today or tomorrow, but I'm thankful for his protection. And then I think of his praise. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I hope we all get excited about God. I don't think there's enough excitement in our church about God. Thank you, all three or four of you. We need to get excited about God. Those songs of, but you see, sometimes you say, I don't feel like it. I don't either when I'm not right with God. But I'm right with God. I want to. I enjoy it. And I want to get Bapticostical. I enjoy. Man, that was a great number, Daniel. You did a great job. I can't remember what else you told me to say about you, but it was tremendous. And as we close this chapter, as we looked here at the wickedness of our sins, the wages of our sin, as he had this penalty and then his pardon and then the power of God returning to him. In verse 9, 10, 11, we see here a different. Up till verse 8, through verse 8, David has been speaking. But now God speaks. God speaks. God speaks. God speaks so clearly in this verses. He says, Jesus is speaking, words of our Savior. Let me say here, first he wants to guide us. Look there, if you will, please, in verse 9. Verse 8, he said, I will instruct thee. I meant to say verse 8, 9, 10, and 11, our Lord speaking. He said, I will instruct. It's not David speaking in verse 8 down to the end of that chapter. It's the Lord. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. He wants to guide us today. You know, how does he look? No, it's interesting. How does he guide us? Two things, the book and a look. This is the book. I'm thinking over there for a moment in Luke chapter 22 when Peter denied the Lord. And the Lord, verse 57 of chapter 22 of Luke, but a certain, verse 57, and he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not, referring to his denial, Lord. And then we find verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and he wept bitterly. I thank God for the book. Thank God for the look of the Holy Spirit with us. As he looks, he says, I want to guide you because you don't know what you're doing in life. You don't know how to walk this Christian life. You heard me say this before. Somebody said it's hard to live the Christian life. No, it's not. It's impossible unless he does it through you. I see not only here, he wants to guide us. He wants to govern us. Verse 9, but be ye not as the horse or the mule. I won't use the other name. But I think at times we act like mules and horses. Horse wants its own way. A mule wants its own will. That's us. You get on a wild horse, he wants to go hit. And then a mule, my wife said to me, honey, well, we got that extra acre. Why don't we get a donkey? I said, honey, you're married to one of those. I think she wants another one because there'll be a resemblance. There'll be two of us. Thank you for not saying amen, Marilyn, wherever you are. He wants to govern us. We can't go it alone. Quit acting like a mule, a wild horse that needs to be broken. God wants to break us. And he will, for we are his children. He not only wants to guide us with the book and the look, he not only wants to govern us, he wants to grant us his blessings. As he closes this chapter, verse 10 and 11, my sorrows shall be to the wicked, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. And they will. He said, oh, David, don't be wicked again. Says to John Stephen, watch your wickedness. But thou trustest in the Lord. Mercy shall compass thee about. Be glad and adore in the Lord. Rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy. It's okay to get excited, folks. All ye that are upright in heart. Is your heart upright this morning? You're going to get excited, but there's sin in your life. You're bent over spiritually. You can't walk with God. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. God,